This episode of Stick Like Glue Radio is brought to you by Jim Palmer's Dream Business Mastermind and Coaching Programs. Now is the time to create your dream business, and Jim Palmer is the perfect coach to help you get that done. Jim offers three different coaching programs, and as a member of his mastermind group, you'll also benefit from the advice, wisdom, and inspiration of other successful entrepreneurs. Learn more about Jim's Dream Business Mastermind and Coaching Programs at www.dreambizcoaching.com and get started building your dream business today. That's www.dreambizcoaching.com.
Hey friends, this is James Malinchak, featured on ABC's hit TV show Secret Millionaire and founder of BigMoneySpeaker.com, and you are listening to my good friend Jim Palmer on Stick Like Glue Radio.
Welcome to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Marketing and business building expert Jim Palmer, known internationally as the Newsletter Guru, is a serial entrepreneur, author, speaker, and coach to other entrepreneurs. Jim is the host of Newsletter Guru TV, a weekly web TV show featuring Jim's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice. Check it out today at www.newsletterguru.tv. Please welcome your host of Stick Like Glue Radio, Jim Palmer.
Well, hello there, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Stick Like Glue Radio. This is the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more, all great things in any business. I am your host, Jim Palmer, your dream business coach, and I am committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. I'm really excited about this week's show, folks. My special guest is Jordan Harbinger, and let me tell you a little bit about Jordan. He's always had an affinity for social influence, interpersonal dynamics, and social engineering, helping private companies test the security of their communication systems and working with law enforcement agencies even before he was old enough to drive. Jordan has spent several years abroad in Europe and the developing world, including South America, Eastern Europe, and the Middle East. He speaks several languages. He's also worked with various governments and NGOs overseas. He's traveled through war zones and even has been kidnapped twice. And Jordan will tell you the only reason he's still alive and kicking is because of his ability to talk his way into and out of just about any situation. At The Art of Charm, Jordan shares that experience and the system born as a result with his students and clients. Jordan, thank you so much for being my special guest today on Stick Like Glue Radio. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for the opportunity.
My pleasure. You know, I mentioned to you before we went live here, I first heard you on Michael O'Neill's show, the Solopreneur Hour, and I thought it was a fascinating interview. And, you know, one of the things I picked up was a phrase that you called situational confidence. And, I do a lot of coaching of entrepreneurs, and some of them have, you know, confidence, but I think, you know, fear of different situations, networking, I mean, whatever it is, there's people that have different levels of, let's just say, uneasiness. And I think one of the cool things that you teach is that there's communication skills and different ways to talk with people that kind of can give you a little more confidence. Can you talk a little bit about how you kind of came to realize that whole thing?
Sure. So, I mean, essentially, I was working on Wall Street, and the guy who hired me, the attorney who hired me, I used to be a finance attorney. He was never in the office, and yet everybody said that he made more money than everybody else. And since he was supposed to be my mentor, one day he took me out, and that's just on Wall Street, being someone's mentor is kind of like a thing that HR says they have to do in order to check off a box somewhere on a spreadsheet. So he took me out for coffee, and he said, ask me anything. And basically what I asked was, instead of something about real estate finance or something about transactional law, what I asked him was, how come everybody says you make more money than everybody else, but you're never in the office if it's all about billable hours? You know, where are you? And he said, oh, well, a lot of these other lawyers that you see working till midnight, 1 a.m. on a Sunday, those guys, their best value to the firm is billing hours. That's the number one piece of ROI that these guys can bring, so they're always there. Because that's where they're best utilized. They're the shiniest cog in the machine. But what he was doing was running around getting business for the firm from different clients and generating client relationships. And so that changed the way that I looked at work, because what that means is that no matter how good you get technically, no matter how good your technical skill in your given profession, you will always be trumped by somebody who has great people skills, who can sell themselves and sell the business that you're in as a result. And so even though I'd gotten that job, I sort of realized that it was about who you know, because I'd gotten that job through a connection, through a friend who helped me, you know, get an interview, turn in the resume, et cetera, et cetera. But what I didn't realize was that even at the top of that industry, we had the exact same phenomenon, where at the top of the game, there was always these lawyers who were working super hard because they didn't have the people skills to sell themselves to the firm. So that was an eye-opener for me, because everybody thinks, well, when I make partner, I'll have better hours, or when I make partner, things will change, or when I make partner, that's where the real money is. But at the end of the day, the guys who worked on their technical skills, they often, their reward was they billed higher for the hours that they spent in the office, which were plentiful. And the guys that worked on their people skills consciously, or just, you know, happened to be good at that stuff as a talent, or happened to grow up around it, those guys still made more money than the technically skilled attorneys, and they had better job security, because after a while, that firm started having economic trouble because it was a recession, et cetera, because back in 2007. So these lawyers who had billed tons of hours and became partners and were highly technically skilled and were rewarded with partner-level compensation packages and things like that, they were rewarded by either early retirement or by starting over mid-rung at another firm if they were lucky enough to get a job. Of course, this guy who had all these people skills, these social skills, and these sales skills, he walked straight into another law firm as a partner with his book of business and probably got a raise. So that was a huge wake-up call for me, because I realized I could work my butt off and have no job security and have no hope of earning more than anybody else other than to work on my people skills. So I started to dedicate my life to that stuff, because that's really where it really is all about who you know, right? And that's not just a cliche. It's actually a bit of life-saving and career-saving advice, because a lot of people whine about it being all who you know, but for guys like me and for guys that come through our programs at The Art of Charm or listen to The Art of Charm podcast, et cetera, we know that that's the luckiest thing ever. That's really fortunate. It's all about who you know, because you can work on that and you can leapfrog everybody else who's willing to give up all hope of a regular, normal family and social life in exchange for billing hours and putting in the time.
Yeah, that's really
that
huge.
Sense?
You know, it makes great sense. You know, a lot of times I'll teach people, you know, it's not about becoming better at what you do from a skills perspective. It really has to do with mindset and how you present yourself and again, how, as you say, how you interact with people. I always have seen people are drawn to people who appear confident. And what I've learned, you know, as I get older, I'm 56, and what I've learned from talking with a lot of successful people is some people will appear confident even though they may not be on the inside. And
sure.
You had a really good blog post, I think it was just yesterday, about, you know, why confident body language builds confident men, right? And I think some of the things in there was about how you smile, your posture, how you walk with confidence, and things like that. Have you studied that a lot? Or, I mean, everything you said makes good sense, but, I mean, do you have any kind of, did you do any studying to say, yeah, some people, like I said, some people appear very confident, they walk with confidence, they stand upright and smile and make good connections, but is that generally, I think the nugget of your blog post was that doing that and carrying yourself that way actually feeds your brain confidence as well.
It does, yeah, and that's the core of it, right? Because here's the thing. A lot of people go, oh, no, you know, fake it till you make it. That concept is wrong. And we're not talking about walking around like a tough guy with your arms out like a gorilla and somebody steps on your foot and you say, what's your problem, bro? You got a problem? And getting all upset with this person. That's not what we're talking about when we're talking about physical confidence. What we're talking about is a system and that goes behind the idea that the mind follows the body and the body follows the mind. This isn't some woo-woo California, Jordan's been doing yoga too long thing. There's plenty of science that says that this is the case. We know that people who are confident look confident. We also know that people who make a habit of changing their physiology to look confident and be confident actually start to get treated differently by other people. And, of course, it changes your mindset. And if people need evidence of this, you can shrink yourself up into a little ball, slump your shoulders over, look down at the ground, put a frown on your face, and try to think happy thoughts. And it's pretty tricky. Another drill we also do is you can, or rather experiment to prove the point rather than a drill, is put a pencil in your mouth across the back of your teeth, which basically forces you to make the mechanics of a smile without actually smiling. And this will change your emotional state a little bit. It's not a trick. It's not a hack. It just illustrates the point because it looks ridiculous and it's not a shortcut to happiness. But it will show you that, oh, okay, this is something that you can feel happening regardless of whether or not that's actually useful. Now, of course, what we know by that, by extension, is that we can continue to work on our physiology and change our physiology in order to become just a little bit more confident. But it doesn't replace actual confidence. This isn't something you can do and just walk around strutting around all day and then suddenly you're confident. It's a long-term process that requires you to both change your mindsets and your physiology simultaneously over a longer period of time. Basically, confidence becomes a habit at that point. Does that make sense?
That's really powerful. You know, I always say when people sometimes they want to take this massive step in their business, I say, first of all, let's do this, like 1, 2, 3, because success breeds success. You know, you get a little – it's just like losing weight. I mean, you go on a diet and it takes you a week to lose a pound, but that gives you, you know, the ability to, oh, that's exciting. Let's go for 2 or 3, you know.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things you also talk about is charisma. Again, it's all – I'm really fascinated with, you know, how to make connections and you know, develop your business through interpersonal skills. You said that charisma is the ability to make other people feel good just being around you. And you've also said developing charisma is possible. So for people that are listening to this that may have a you know, maybe feel they're just a wallflower, you know, feel they just don't have the charisma to have a magnetic personality, how do they go about kind of reversing that trend, at least in their own mind?
Well, it can be really tricky. I mean, learning how to become more social, learning how to become more outgoing, this is essentially what people come and learn from us live when they come to our live boot camps and our live training programs in L.A. And we're looking at a room full of students right now from Denmark, Australia, New Zealand, the U.S., and Canada. So if people are willing to fly literally across the world to come and go to our live training, then obviously this is a skill set that requires a little bit of help for most people and is highly in demand. So I'd say that for people who are looking to start, I mean, we have 300 hours of free content on this at The Art of Charm. If you're looking for the podcast, you know, you're already listening to the show, check out our stuff on the podcast. But the long and short of it, or rather just the short of it, is people need to start with their physiology while working on those mindsets. And so some of the drills that I can give, for example, are every day for the next, let's say, 2 or 3 weeks. We know that habit formation takes longer, but you can start to get into the habit in that amount of time. Straighten up your back, shoulders back, chin up, chest up, not too exaggerated. You'll look ridiculous, but do that every time you walk through a doorway and put a smile on your face. And I'm talking about even in the comfort of your own home is when we want to do this, because what this does is it starts to get you in the habit of having good, confident physiology all the time, even when no one's looking. The fake confidence comes from trying to do this manually, and you'll notice this if you're, especially women have noticed this in the past, I'm sure. When women walk into a room full of guys, guys straighten up and do that almost instinctually, and the guys that are really scared and really not confident, they actually shrink because they don't want to be seen because it's subconscious fear of rejection. But we do this already. We just don't do it all of the time. We usually only do it when we think we need to. And the problem with that is that's kind of like only running a marathon when you think you need to, right, instead of training for it. And you can imagine that's a pretty difficult situation to put yourself in. So if you're constantly building the habit of creating that positive physiology, that confident physiology, then when you go to Starbucks, you're going to be doing it automatically. It's going to be internalized. And another bonus of that is then you don't have to think about it anymore. So when you're going to a meeting or you're going to a networking event or you're going to someplace where you need to be your best, you don't have to think, all right, shoulders back, chin up, smile, engage. Oh, darn, I haven't been paying attention to what this person said for the last 30 seconds to a minute because I'm working on micromanaging my posture and my facial expressions. Uh-oh, wait, do I look weird now? What's happening now? Oh, this is strange. I mean, you constantly do that to yourself. You're worried about how you're being perceived, and you're trying to micromanage your perception by others, and we call that being in your head. And what that means is it's the opposite of presence, right? You're worried about what other people are thinking. You're worried about managing your perception and your expression, and that's really problematic because when you're doing that, not only do you look awkward, but you can't react, you can't think, and you're not going to be in any kind of what a lot of us would call flow. There's a lot of things that trips up. It's kind of like trying to manually pump blood through your body. I mean, it's impossible. Our body internalizes that because if you had to think about it every time, imagine how overwhelmed you'd be, right? If you have to think about things like breathing, it wouldn't work. So we want to internalize and make automatic that confident physiology. When we do that, we can also spot when we are feeling unconfident, when we're feeling insecure, because we'll be able to know, hey, my physiology is a little bit different. And we can change that to manage our state. Because what's going on outside is just a reflection of what's going on inside. Does that make sense? So it's a reflection of our emotional state. And you can start to
Absolutely.
Change your emotional state on off days, quote-unquote off days, by managing your physiology all of the time and then fixing it. When you're having what most of us would call an off day and just sucking it up, we can say, oh, this is an off day. I need to change my physiology, and I need to be a little bit more conscious today.
And like you said, the more you do, you don't just turn it on when you go to a networking event or live seminar or something. The more you do it, the more it becomes natural because, yeah, like, oh, my God, I'm leaning too far to the left. My shoulders are too high. You know, you don't want to look like a complete boob in there.
Right.
What are some of the mistakes, we'll call them universal mistakes, that are made when people try to make a first impression? Because it really is about first impression, especially when you're networking, meeting a potential date or, you know, man, woman, or whatever. What have you seen as some of the universal mistakes that people make?
Well, it actually, there's so many that it's hard to list, but there are a couple that really stand out. And one of them, probably the top mistake, is that people don't listen. And people go, yeah, that's the cliched advice, Jordan. Just listen. Who is this guy? Why is he on your show? But here's the thing. It's not as simple as remembering, all right, I got to listen and pay attention. Because if it were, this wouldn't be a real tip. And this wouldn't be a real piece of advice. But the reason that it's so clutch is because it's misused or rather not used by so many people. And the reason is because people aren't listening even though they have the best intent to listen. And the reason that they're not is why? They're in their head. They're managing that perception we were just talking about before. So a lot of people go, remember to listen, remember to listen. All right, I'm a good listener. I can listen. But the problem is they don't have that confident physiology. They haven't done any of the groundwork to come across as confident. They haven't done any of the groundwork to have value to show in the interaction with other people. They don't have any of the groundwork done to be a likable person that's fun to be around, that brings any value to the interaction. So then when they try to turn that on and be suddenly doing that in the moment, they're not listening anymore. It's very hard to do all of those things at once. Like I said, it would be like trying to remember to breathe and pump your blood at the same time while you're doing everything else during your day. I mean, it's just, even if those were processes we could control, it would be next to impossible to juggle all those balls at the same time. So doing all of these things and internalizing all that confident physiology, as well as, you know, working on things like eye contact, working on things like being able to smile genuinely and make people feel comfortable and having proper vocal tonality and the way that you sit, stand, walk, and talk, all those little bits of positive and confident first impressions, those become impossible to juggle. And then suddenly when you are starting to work on that stuff, now you're not working on the other things like, well, listening and all of the other important pieces. So it's not just a bunch of cliches strung together. It's actually something that you need to build brick by brick. So the mistakes that people make aren't just, oh, you didn't look people in the eye for 1.5 seconds. It's not that simple. The mistakes that people make with their first impressions are made over the last 6 months to a year when they weren't bothering to work on their nonverbal communication and the way that they show up to other people, and then trying to turn it on at the last second because you want to look cool at the networking event with all the entrepreneurs or whatever it is that you're working on. And the other, I guess if I had to drop like one quick tip on it, it would be that most people think the first impression is made when they open their mouth, and that's not the case. The first impression is made when you become a blip on someone else's radar, which is when they notice you. And since you can't talk to everybody in the room the second you walk into the room, the best time to make that first impression is when you walk into the room, and the only way to make that first impression is with your nonverbal communication. So it all comes back to what we just talked about, which is having proper nonverbal confident physiology, nonverbal communication, projecting a friendly vibe, having good eye contact with the people you are interacting with so that other people who see you interacting with them know that you're going to be somebody who's a positive interaction. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, ask any woman who's ever dated anyone in her life, because they can always spot creeps coming. And the way they do that is by looking at you interacting with other people, and they go, oh, all right, every time Jordan walks up to a girl in this place, they back up after 10 seconds, and they walk away, or they check their watch, or they pull their phone out, or they go to the bathroom. It's only a matter of time until that guy comes up to me, and I'm going to be ready to blow this person off or to not talk to them. So in a dating context, this stuff really shows up. And as all of us can imagine, what you're like when you're dating, what you're like when you're socializing, it's just a microcosm of how you show up pretty much everywhere else, because how you do anything is how you do everything, right?
Exactly. This is fascinating. I wish I had an hour program with you, but I got one more question for you, Jordan. For the introverts that might be listening to the show and who are, you know, admittedly sometimes nervous to go to a conference or live event, you know, by themselves, what advice do you have for them?
Well, I guess for somebody who's going to be considering themselves an introvert, know that most of the people that are teaching you this stuff right now at some point are introverts. Introvert and shy are not the same thing. And a lot of times people who say they're introverts are just people that haven't worked on this skill set and are leaning on some sort of clinical definition for their own shyness or for their own lack of initiative. So I'm going to leave people who are like medically introverted out of this, because the percentage of those people is very small. The percentage of people who would rather not initiate an interaction because they're scared and they have anxiety attached to it because they haven't worked on this as a skill, that's a much higher percentage. And I would say stop, first and foremost, stop thinking of yourself as an introvert. Stop thinking of yourself in some sort of definition that, by the way, you pretty much applied to yourself as some sort of reason or excuse why you're not going to be good at this and why people are not going to like you and why, you know, you're basically rejecting yourself before you're even giving other people a chance to do that. And that's not helping your cause or your case. The other thing is, honestly, if you're sitting there and you're going, yeah, but I really am an introvert, then you're going to have a lot of trouble, and you kind of have a choice to make. Are you going to work on this as a skill set? Are you going to work on this until you get good at it, or are you going to lean on your excuses forever? Because if you plan on leaning on your excuses forever, honestly, stop trying to run your own business, because people buy you, and if you're not willing to work on yourself as the product, you're just wasting your time. Go get a job where you sit behind a desk and you don't talk to anybody, because either you're moving forward or you're moving backward. And again, not just a cliche, if you're not working on yourself as the product, you're never going to be able to succeed. And with very few exceptions, are there people who created something truly great or even created their own business that are afraid to step in front of somebody else. And those people that have, they usually find somebody else who can sell what they're doing and believes in it. And that person becomes the champion. Look at Steve Jobs. Look at Bill Gates. Do you think those guys were like, what I want to do is be in front of everybody for a really long time and take tons of criticism and be working on myself till the day I die? No, they just wanted to sell computers. But they knew they had a choice to make. And the field of entrepreneurship and business is littered with people who thought the product would speak for itself. And we're wrong.
Yeah. Jason, this is going to be one of my favorite calls this month. I really enjoyed all the information. I know there's people who want to reach out and connect with you. So I know that you have the website, theartofcharm.com. Is that the best place for people to go to learn more about you?
No, I would say if you're listening to this as a podcast, go to wherever you listen to podcasts and search for The Art of Charm. You'll find our show there. Start with the free stuff. We sell our live training and stuff like that, of course, at The Art of Charm, but go for the free stuff, learn as much as you can, start applying it, and then when you're ready for coaching to move forward, that's when we should get in touch, because a lot of people will balk at, you know, oh, it's expensive, or, oh, this is something I'm not sure is going to work for me. Try the free stuff. Check it out. When you're ready for real change, give me a call or email me. I'm Jordan at theartofcharm.com.
That's awesome. Jordan, thank you so much for being my guest this week. I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you.
Hey, folks, that wraps up this very special episode of Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. I am your host, Jim Palmer, your dream business coach, and I'm committed to helping you build a more profitable business faster. Watch for another great episode of Stick Like Glue Radio this time next week, and until then, keep taking action, keep moving forward, and don't ever, ever, ever give up. Now go out there and do something nice for somebody today. Take care, everybody.
You've been listening to Stick Like Glue Radio, the only podcast dedicated to helping you create an everlasting bond with your customers so they stay longer, spend more, and refer more. Stick Like Glue Radio features Jim Palmer's unique brand of smart marketing and business building advice for action-oriented entrepreneurs. To make sure you don't miss a single profit-boosting show, subscribe to this podcast at www.getjimpalmer.com. If you know other entrepreneurs looking for the fastest way to higher profits in their business, please tell them about the Stick Like Glue Radio podcast. Now go and implement what you've learned and boost your profits. See you next week for more Stick Like Glue Radio.